Welcome to the AICPA's Career Connection, a podcast series about CPAs and their careers. We'll help you better understand what you need to know about jobs, interviewing, and recruiting within the CPA profession. And now here's your host, John Hudson.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the AICPA's Career Connection, and today we're going to talk about resumes and cover letters and how to make them really work for you. We have with us today Dawn Fay, President of the New York, New Jersey District of Robert Half International, which is the world's first and largest specialized staffing firm, as well as a long-term partner of the AICPA, and thanks for joining us today, Dawn.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, a well-constructed resume and cover letter is really a job seeker's first opportunity to make a really good first impression with a hiring manager. And during this podcast, we're going to discuss some of the current trends and best practices in resumes and cover letters to help you make the best first impression you can. So, Dawn, let's start it out by talking about some of the fundamentals. Tell me some of the fundamentals that a job seeker should have top of mind when they're preparing their resume.
Well, the first thing you need to think about is the format. And certainly the most preferred by employers is to have things in a chronological order with your most recent position at the top and then working backwards. The other thing to keep in mind is to really highlight your accomplishments. And I think some people make a mistake here and just sort of laundry list many of the things that they've done. You want to be as specific as you can about your accomplishments and how you've impacted the bottom line of the organization you worked for. Those are some of the key facts to really think about when putting that resume together.
Are there any kind of key words and things you either want to use or maybe steer clear of when you're putting a resume together?
You know, you certainly want to steer clear of too much internal jargon that maybe people wouldn't understand if it was specific to your company. You want to use keywords that are recognizable to everybody. If you're in the accounting field, you want to make sure that you're talking about the general ledger and your very specific things that you did within that company so that those keywords jump out, that everybody understands them. And when people are searching online, those words will come up and match the job descriptions that companies are looking for. So that's very important.
Okay, what about the length of the resume? I know there's a lot of disagreement, I guess, about how detailed or summarize they should be. What's the proper level of detail, you think, and length for a resume?
You know, this is always a hotly debated topic. And, you know, what we find is 1 or 2 pages. You really don't want to go beyond 2 pages. The real rule of thumb is to let, you know, the level of your experience really dictate whether it be 1 or 2 pages. Robert Half actually did a survey, and we found that while still the majority of people prefer 1 page at 52%, that's actually come a long way, whereas in the past, a decade ago, 73% would want to see it just on 1 page, whereas nowadays you've got 44% of people saying 2 pages acceptable. But any way you look at it, you want to make sure that it is concise and to the point, and you're not just sort of rambling on.
Now, how about maybe current trends, emerging trends that you're seeing in better resumes? What are you seeing out there now in the better ones?
You know, in the better ones, there's what we call the executive summary, where people really use in the beginning an opportunity to give a nice, concise overview of all of their skills before going into the chronological history of what they've done. So I think that's probably the biggest one that we've seen that's really seeming to catch employers' eyes.
Okay, let's move our discussion now a bit from the resume to the cover letter that's going to accompany the resume. What do you think about cover letters? How important are they?
You know, cover letters are actually extremely important and I think often overlooked, especially today when many resumes are being submitted via email. People feel like they don't need that cover letter. When we've actually done, Robert Half's done a survey, 86% of executives, which is a very big number, say that those cover letters are very valuable when evaluating job candidates. So I think it's something that people have to make sure that they put some time into.
What are some of the fundamentals that a job seeker should think about when they're putting the cover letter together?
Well, the cover letter is, that's really your first shot to make your first impression. So that has got to be written very concisely. It's got to, again, pull out some of the highlights as to why you think you're good for that particular job and why you want that job. But make sure that it is proofread, just like your resume needs to be proofread. Again, I think sometimes people rush through those cover letters and they're just as important as your resume.
What do you think about, I don't want to say duplicating your resume and your cover letter, but at least covering in sort of a bulletized format some of the highlights so that you kind of capture their interest at the very beginning so that they will look at your resume. What do you think about that?
You know, you don't want to be too redundant. You don't want to overstate your entire resume, but I do think that you've got to hit, you know, maybe one or two highlights in your background that's very relevant for that particular job. I think that's the important thing, is make sure that that cover letter speaks to that particular job with a couple of key highlights from your resume.
And how about length of cover letters?
You know, this should be really tight and short. You know, if you're going to email it, it should be maybe just a short few paragraphs, or if it's going to be in letter format, same thing, certainly never more than one page, and really just a couple, you know, maybe two, three paragraphs that are very well written and very concise and to the point.
And do people really disqualify candidates if they see a typo or something, you know, in a cover letter?
They do. They do, whether it be in the cover letter or in the resume. Everybody's, you know, got their own sort of opinions on that, but it certainly does not show well. You miss the attention to detail that so many employers are looking for. So you've got to be really, really careful to proofread that over and over again and have somebody else look at it too for another pair of eyes on it.
Okay, well, there you have it. Some good tips on preparing effective resumes and cover letters. I want to thank Dawn Fay from Robert Half International for being with us today. We hope that the rest of you will join us again for future podcasts in the Career Connection series. On behalf of the AICPA and CPA to Biz, I'm John Hudson. So long, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the AICPA's Career Connection with your host, John Hudson. If you like what you just heard, we hope that you'll pass along our web address to your friends and colleagues. Also, be sure to check out the archive section on our Career Center homepage for previous podcasts in this series. Just go to www.cpatobiz.com/careers. This has been a production of the American Institute of CPAs and CPA to Biz. Join us next time for another edition of the AICPA's Career Connection.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.